And this morning, as we look at another song of Christmas, God, I just pray that you would speak to us and you would encourage us and you would challenge us. Amen. So, 17 seconds is about as long as any North American can tolerate silence. After 17 seconds, somebody has to speak. Try it in a conversation. Try going silent between you and another person and see how long it takes before one of you speaks. It'll be about 17 seconds. Now imagine 400 years of silence. 400 years. That's how long the Israelites went. They were used to God speaking to them through their leaders, through their kings, through their prophets. And then God went silent for 400 years. The prophets had spoken of the one who would come from heaven, who would be born a virgin in David's royal city, who would rule the nations and redeem his people. They spoke of the one who would restore Israel to its former glory. They spoke of the one who would be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And yet, perhaps, they were wrong. 400 years of silence. Maybe God had given up on his people. Luke 1:5 says, in the time of King Herod, or in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. There was a priest named Zechariah, and if you know about the Old Testament at all, you know there's a book written by the prophet Zechariah. This is a different Zechariah. This Zechariah is an old man. He's married to an old lady named Elizabeth, and they're barren. They never had a child. She was unable to bear children. And, you know, in today's world, that's something that leads to despair. Leads to a lot of questioning, a lot of heartache. And back then was no difference, but there was something added back then, and it was this, that if you were childless, people felt it was because God had passed you by, that his blessing wasn't on your life. Imagine that pressure. And Zechariah, he was a priest, no less. One of 18,000 priests living in the nation of Israel. Most of the priests, they live out in the country, and twice a year for a week at a time, they go to Jerusalem to minister in the temple. I read that and I thought, that's a pretty good gig. Twice a year, 1 week at a time, sign me up. Anyway, you'll catch on to that later. But during each trip to Jerusalem, Zechariah and the other priests would draw lots to see which priest would be chosen for the high honor to carry the incense and the prayers for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah into the holy place. What would happen is the people would join together outside the walls of the temple and pray, and the priest would pray with them, and then the priest would move into the temple area and sacrifice on behalf of the nation of Israel, and they'd offer up prayers, and then the chosen priest would go into the holy place where he would burn incense and offer prayers for the entire nation. And while the priest was in there, the people would wait. And they'd wait for the priest to come out and pronounce the blessing over the people. And on one trip, Zechariah's name was chosen. He was to be the priest who would go into the holy place and burn incense and pray. And while Zechariah was in the holy place, an angel appeared to him, and the angel said in verse 13, "Do not be afraid." You ever notice angels were always freaking people out? "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Now, when you read that, you might be thinking that the angel was saying to Zechariah, "Zechariah, I've heard your prayer down through the years that you and Elizabeth would have a baby, and you're going to have a baby." And you think that the prayer that the angel's referring to is Zechariah's prayer for a child, but that's not the case. Remember where Zechariah was. Remember what Zechariah was doing. He was in the holy place praying for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah. And that's the prayer that the angel was referring to. The angel was referring to the prayer that Zechariah had just prayed for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah. The angel was saying to Zechariah, God is working in the nation of Israel and in the world, and he's going to do a cosmic work, and he's going to do it through you having a baby, Zechariah. Zechariah would have never imagined that his answer to his prayer for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah would be found in an answer to a deeply personal prayer that he would have a son. And then in verse 14 and 15, the angel explained the kind of son Zechariah's son would be. "He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." And then in verse 16 and 17, the angel tells Zechariah what his son would do. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to their Lord. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And after the angel has said all this to Zechariah, Zechariah is standing there, his jaw is dropping. He looks at the angel and says, "How can this be? I'm 80. I can't have a kid. And neither can my wife, by the way." And the angel says, "Zechariah, I'm sensing you're not catching on here, and you're not believing what I'm saying." And so the angel says in verse 20, "Zechariah, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." For 400 years, priests had gone into the holy place, they burned incense, they prayed the prayers week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, there was a deafening silence. And then one day, an old priest who was near the end of his career came out of the holy place making hand signals. And the people realized something was happening. Now, a week after service, Zechariah went home. Now, imagine the note he wrote to Elizabeth. The angel said, "What? You want to do what?" Imagine that. And sure enough, Elizabeth became pregnant. And then we don't hear anything about them until the baby is born. And then 8 days after the baby is born, the time came for the circumcision and the naming of the child. And tradition dictated that the child should receive a family name, honoring a parent or a grandparent or some other family relative. But Elizabeth gave her son the name John. And the people were shocked, which caused Zacharias to ask for a tablet. Now, for you that are under 50, that doesn't mean an iPad, okay? A tablet was just an old thing you actually wrote on. And on the tablet, Zechariah wrote the name the angel had given him for the child, which was, of course, John. And the Bible says immediately when he wrote that, his tongue was freed. And in that joyous moment, filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah's heart explodes with pent-up praise. Let me read you the verses that Gord read so well for us. It's the song of Zechariah. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised them up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Now it's important to note something here, that Zechariah was thinking about the Messiah in a way that we might not be thinking about the Messiah. We need to remember that his thinking about the Messiah was formed by Jewish thought and expectation of that day. And the Jewish people, before the Messiah came, they thought that the Messiah was going to be a freedom fighter who would defeat Roman oppression and make Israel great again. And thus, as he spoke or sung these words, Zechariah was thinking primarily of God's promises to deliver the nation of Israel from their enemies. He was thinking of God's promise to restore Israel to a rightful place. That's what they thought the Messiah was going to do. And so let's look at the three great themes of this song through the eyes of Zechariah first. And the first theme is this, that the coming of the Messiah would fulfill what the prophets have spoke about long ago. The prophets have spoken of the Messiah's coming. Micah had spoken of it, as had Isaiah and Jeremiah. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and others had all looked forward to the day of the Messiah's coming. They saw it coming, they just didn't know when it was going to happen. And now, after 400 years of silence, God was breaking in. And Zechariah here is praising God that he had not forgotten his people, that he had not forgotten his promises to his people. And that should be an encouragement to us. Some of you here today, you're struggling and you're praying and you're wondering where God is. He's right there with you. Just like he was with the Israelites during the 400 years of silence. Be encouraged today. God has not forgotten his promises to you. God has not forgot his promises to you. The second great theme is the coming of the Messiah would signal the dawning of a new day. I like the way the King James translates verse 78. It says this, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. The dayspring is that part of the sunrise just before the sun actually rises. It's that glow just before the sun comes up. That's the dayspring. It's the sign that a new day is dawning. For the Jewish people, it had been a long night. For too long, God's people had lived in the darkness of foreign governments, of oppression, of the consequences of their own sin. And now God was about to change all that. The Messiah was on the way. The long wait was over. God was about to visit his people. A new day was dawning. And here's the third great theme. The coming Messiah would redeem his people. Look at verse 69. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A horn back then symbolized strength. Thus the phrase, a horn of salvation, pointed to the strength the Messiah would have when he came. The Messiah would be strong and mighty. He would be the one who is able to redeem the Israelites, to save the people from their enemies. Oppression and persecution that the people had suffered for so long from other nations would soon be over when the Messiah came, they thought. The strong and mighty Messiah would redeem them. He would set them free. And Zechariah knew his son was the one who was going to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Look at verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And that is exactly what John the Baptist did. His whole reason was to make people ready for the coming of the Messiah. John began his ministry by going out to the region of the Jordan River, and he preached repentance and he baptized many. And when John saw Jesus walking to him one day, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Do you notice something interesting in this song? Only two verses in this entire song have to do with Zechariah's son, John. The rest of the song has to do with the coming of the Messiah. John's role was to point people to Jesus. And his father knew that. And he praised God because of that. Have you ever thought that our role is like John the Baptist? Our role is to point people to Jesus. Now again, remember, Zechariah's thinking about the Messiah was shaped by Jewish thought and expectation regarding what the Messiah would do before the Messiah came. Our thinking today is formed by the Gospels, documents that were written after the Messiah came. Thus, we have a clearer picture of what the Messiah actually came to do. So let's look at Zechariah's song from this side of the Gospels. And indeed, Zechariah was right. God the Father sent his son to be the Redeemer. Actually, Zechariah used an interesting word, a key word, at the beginning and ending of the song. Verse 68 says this, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeem them." Verse 78 says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven." The word "come" originates from a root word in the Greek, in which the New Testament was written, which means to visit personally. The word was used of seeing someone in a bad situation and personally intervening in order to relieve their misery. Zechariah is telling us that Jesus did not visit the planet to simply see how we were doing. He knew how we were doing. He knew we were in trouble. Jesus came to earth to redeem the world, to relieve our misery. That's what Christmas is all about. The word "redeem" means to release from bondage through the payment of a price. You see, that baby that was born and placed in a feeding trough one day grew and hung on a cross. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he took on all the sin and brokenness of the world, past, present, future, yours, mine, everyone else's. And on the cross, as Jesus hung there, he paid the penalty for our sin. On the cross, Jesus paid the price. On the cross, Jesus intervened on our behalf and provided a way for the world to be released from the bondage of sin so that the world could be healed, restored, and redeemed. Secondly, God the Father sent his Son to be the victorious King. You notice verse 69. Zechariah says he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. Jesus is the horn. He is the strong and mighty one who took on the cosmic forces that opposed humanity. And I've told you before, I'll say again this morning, God had his D-Day where it was all in. Either evil was going to win or God was going to win. And that D-Day was the cross and the resurrection, and Jesus won. And one day, we're going to experience Victory Day. One day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we live in this in-between time. And in this in-between time between God's D-Day and God's Victory Day, our victory is assured, but there are still many battles and much suffering. Evil is not going down without a fight, but one day Jesus is coming back as our victorious King, and when he comes back, the Bible says he will bring about the renewal of all things. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. Sin, evil, and their effects will be completely destroyed. And know this, in this in-between time in which we live, the Jesus who was born in the stable, the Jesus who died on the cross, the Jesus who burst out of that grave wants to burst into your life as a victorious King. And that, folks, is the good news of Advent. And then God the Father sent his Son to give us a fresh start. Look at verse 79. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Jesus came and a new day dawned. And some of you have been living in the darkness for too long. Some of you have been living in darkness too long, and I want you this morning to hear Zechariah's song. He's singing to you, and he's singing to you that Jesus came to redeem you. Jesus came to forgive you. You don't have to allow the past to be your present. Jesus came to forgive you of all your sin. Listen to Zechariah sing. Jesus came to free you from that which holds you in bondage. Jesus came to set things right. Jesus came to be the day spring. He came to give you a new day, a fresh start. Jesus wants to burst into your life this morning. Let him. Open your life to him. Maybe for a first time. Maybe for a renewal. Jesus wants to come into your life. The bread, the cup, that's what they speak about. The cross. On the cross, Jesus redeemed us so we could have a fresh start. Let Jesus give you a fresh start this morning. Surrender your life to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to free you. Ask him to be your victorious King. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and your word. Thank you for the way Zechariah's song speaks to us today. I pray that all of us would know you as our Redeemer. I pray all of us would know you as our victorious King. I pray that all of us would have that fresh start with you. Father, as people here this morning, they need to be released from the stuff that's holding them in bondage. Be the bondage breaker this morning. Father, there's people in this room that are living in darkness who need to see the light. They need to experience the day spring, the new start. God, may they experience that this morning. Father, there's people here that at 5 years old, they said they want to follow you, but they have drifted so far from that. This morning, God, may they come back to you. Father, around this room, may people find you this morning. Because truly, Christmas is about you coming into this world to burst into our life. In Jesus' name, amen.